Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce, and this is City Views. 10 years ago, a group of Utah cities got together to build a state-of-the-art fiber optic network, a technology infrastructure that would give residents and businesses high-speed, high-quality internet. But the Utah Telecommunication Open Infrastructure Agency, commonly called as Utopia, that project has been much slower to build and much more costly. Only about 10,000 homes currently subscribe to the service, well short of the 50,000 envisioned, and Utopia has spent the better part of $185 million, and it's still not done with the build-out. A recent legislative audit recommends better management of the project and fiscal controls, prompting some to say the private sector should take over. Today on the program, we'll discuss the ups and downs of the Utopia project and some options for moving forward. Joining me in studio is Todd Marriott. He is executive director of Utopia. Todd, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us, Wayne Pyle, city manager of West Valley City, one of the 11 cities that is part of the Utopia project. Wayne, good morning.
Morning.
And Pete Ashdown, president and founder of X-Mission, an internet service provider based in Salt Lake City, the oldest Utopia provider. He's in studio as well. Pete, good morning.
Good morning.
And Royce Van Tassel, vice president of the Utah Taxpayers Association, which has been critical of Utopia. He joins me in studio as well. Royce, good morning.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Clearly a full house. Thank you all for your time today. Later on in the program, we'll hear from the entertainer and author, Dina Martin, who's coming to Salt Lake City. But first, Utopia. What do you want to know about this high-speed network? Should cities continue to build it? And if they do you think customers will come? If you're part of the network, let us know about your experience. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Todd, I want to start with you. Give us some background on Utopia. It launched 10 years ago. Currently, 11 cities are part of this effort. Why was Utopia envisioned as a publicly funded project?
I think that's a great question, and I think that's the crux of the matter. Utopia is considered critical infrastructure. And I think a lot of people see Utopia as simply the fastest internet on earth, which it is, thanks to Pete and others who provide those services. But Utopia provides an infrastructure of connectivity, I think very analogous to 100 years ago when we were considering whether or not we should put electrical infrastructure in place.
From the very beginning, cities were kind of weighing the options of joining. Wayne Pyle, why did West Valley join?
That's also a great question, Jennifer. Basically, West Valley City looked at the options before them and realized that the infrastructure, both in terms of actual availability and speed, just was not going to be there from the incumbents that were providing them at the time. That was mainly Quest and Comcast.
Okay, so you saw a need. You decided it was worth the investment?
Yes, that's correct. We saw at the time that we had this conglomeration or group of cities that was willing to share the cost and burden of doing that. We saw both the need for the provision of those services, or at least that pipe, as we call it, to the residents and the businesses of West Valley City. We also saw the advantage from an economic development standpoint that would provide us as we were both attracting and retaining businesses.
What's been West Valley City's piece of the pie of this Utopia project?
We're the largest city that's in the group. We have the largest debt pledge and commitment to Utopia from a financial standpoint. We also actually are the smallest built out, I believe at least proportionally, percentage-wise of the city so far. We have been okay with that, and the reason for that is that as we have proceeded along and developed the model and developed the organization, what we have tried to do as management and certainly as a board of Utopia is put those investment dollars, those build dollars, where they would do the most good, where they had the most likelihood of being taken in terms of the lingo of the trade, so to speak, by customers.
And how much is that?
How much is our share?
Yeah,
it's something on the order of $60 million.
$60 million. Royce Van Tassel, you've been a very critical voice of Utopia. As I mentioned from the top, the Utopia project has not been without its flaws. Had a management shakeup a couple of years ago. We'll get to specifics in the audit as we go. But why do you think this is not the responsibility of cities? Why shouldn't cities build this infrastructure for fiber optics?
Utahns understand that one of the keys to good government is keeping government out of the business of business. And we have known for decades that whatever people demand, where there is a market, entrepreneurs like Pete Ashdown and others will rush and climb over each other's backs trying to provide that service. We're thrilled that that technology is such an important part of Utah. That's why companies like Exactware are here, why companies like Twitter and eBay are expanding here in Utah. Those are great opportunities that are taking place here in Utah. And when you have a thriving community, when you have government staying out of the business of business, you see those kinds of innovations, you see that kind of investment.
But how is this different from roads, from bridges, from other things that, you know, frankly, private sector interests won't support? They're not going to go out and build their own road for the most part.
Well, look around. We see that across the country, across the state, across every community, the private sector is investing tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to expand their infrastructure, their telecommunications access. Everybody uses fiber optics throughout the community, throughout the world. Technology is not the question. The question is who should pay for it. And we have seen very clearly that as the market has demanded ever greater volumes of broadband, the private sector has stepped up and said, we're going to provide that. And you see that happening today.
Okay, well, let's get a private sector voice in here. Pete Ashdown, the founder and president of X Mission, an internet service provider here in Salt Lake City. Pete, is Utopia something that a private entity could undertake by itself?
Well, we look at Google, and Google is doing that in Kansas City right now, but Google has billions in cash, and they're willing to take a real loss on implementing that network to start with. Google is also going to monitor everything that is done on that network. So if people are willing to give up a certain amount of their privacy and have one choice of provider, that option is really good for Kansas City. In Salt Lake City, Salt Lake City is not a Utopia member. It was told in 2002 and 2004 when this debate was going on by Quest at the time, which is CenturyLink now, that they would provide all the services we need. I still have 3 megabit connection at my house, which is what I had in 2004. It hasn't been upgraded. And if they do upgrade it, the new CenturyLink system does not allow private providers like X Mission to provide service on it. They're keeping it for themselves. So if you want to keep a duopoly or a monopoly, CenturyLink and Comcast, that's the choices we're getting in the private sector. Now, in comparison, you look at other countries that have taken this infrastructure jump, like Sweden and South Korea, and they have lots of providers providing internet service at very low rates. You can get gigabit connections to the internet for under $100. And the reason being is you have robust competition.
Speaking with Pete Ashdown, he's president and founder of X Mission. Also with us in studio, Todd Marriott, executive director of Utopia, Wayne Pyle, city manager of West Valley City, and Royce Van Tassel with the Utah Taxpayers Association. And we're talking about Utopia, this high-speed fiber optic network that has been years in the making. It's not done yet. It's piled with debt. And a recent state audit said there were some problems to it. Do you think cities should be in the business of providing this kind of infrastructure? Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Wayne Pyle?
Yes, I just also back to the philosophy question. I think the question that Royce, as he's representing the Utah Taxpayers Association, is the correct one. However, I think the conclusion is wrong on both accounts that he's addressed. One, the private sector in terms of Comcast and CenturyLink or Quest or any of these providers have not provided this. Pete just made the point, and he illustrated that pretty well. I personally, from a local government standpoint, have been waiting for this to happen even before I worked for West Valley, when I worked for Midvale, for example, as far back as the 1996 Telecommunications Act. Waited for and hoped that that would open up the industry for other providers to come in and be able to provide competition and also deploy these systems, and it just has not worked. Once again, that's another one of the reasons why we got involved in West Valley City. As far as the other part of that dilemma, you know, how does it get deployed? The history is replete with examples where it just has not happened. For example, Salt Lake City back about, oh, I can't remember how long it was, 3 or 4 years ago, was thinking of joining West Valley or Utopia, might have even been 5 years ago. And they were doing or considering doing that because they wanted to see a section of the city connected to some sort of high brand or a high-speed broadband network, which they did not have at the time, either provided by Quest or Comcast or Utopia for that matter. So they were considering joining the second phase of the network construction that we have undertaken in what's called the Utah Infrastructure Agency, or the UIA. They were convinced by the incumbents not to do that for exactly this argument, that it would be provided and that it would come. 5 years later, that same section of Salt Lake City, still no service.
I want to get to some of the particular points in the audit. The state audit, the legislative audit, studied Utopia for a couple of years. Auditors came to the conclusion they were quite concerned about the size of Utopia's debt. They were kind of concerned about management structure, encouraged better policies and plans. Royce, after reading the audit, I mean, what really struck you? I mean, you're looking at this with a very critical eye. What did the auditors get right, and what did they get wrong?
Appreciate that. That's an excellent question. I think that we can all agree that the audit highlighted two broad sets of questions or two broad sets of problems. The first are some very serious management errors that were made by Utopia early in its development. However, the audit identifies a number of very serious problems that have taken place since 2008 when a new management team took over. The first thing to note there is that the financial performance throughout Utopia's existence has just been very, very poor. They have operated at a loss every year that they've been in existence. And that hasn't changed. Those trajectories of operating revenues versus operating expenses haven't changed regardless of who's been in charge there. Those kinds of operating deficits are now being borne by taxpayers. The second thing that you note is that they're just not doing a very good job today of picking up the subscribers that they need. For example, the audit notes that they netted from July 2011 to April 2012, they netted 768 subscribers at a time when the audit indicates, according to Utopia's plans, they needed to be averaging 450 new subscribers a month. Those kinds of management problems on a day-to-day basis are clearly the reason why Utopia is such a burden on taxpayers, why you've had property tax increases to pay for Utopia so far in three Utopia cities. And as I understand it, there was a report made to Orem on Tuesday night indicating that Utopia would be out of operating capital by the end of September.
Todd, you're the man at the top of Utopia right now. I suppose I should let you respond to some of these criticisms. I mean, how can you explain some of the management questions, the budget shortfalls, the lack of subscriptions? How do you respond to those?
I appreciate the opportunity to respond. I frankly don't think that those answers are getting out there. Let me respond specifically to a few of those. In terms of financial performance since 2008 and net subscribers, we have, for example, last year we bonded $29.5 million to go build. The requirement or the debt service on that is about what would equate to $183,000 a month. We will exceed that debt coverage. So the new business practices that are in place are taking care of the debt coverage plus.
You're breaking even and a little better than that.
Yes. Now, the auditors self-admit that 85% plus of that report was pre-2008. If you look at the recommendations of the report, there were no stark, big, you know, you should do this. There were some, you know, have some tighter controls on reporting, the management oversight, et cetera. But, you know, this is a big operation that was in 2008 struggling on the heels of an RUS who pulled out, the Rural Utility Service, who pulled out of a situation that they shouldn't have pulled out. I think so. Specifically, when we look at our subscribers, I think that the auditors did a good job of trying to portray Utopia as struggling from a subscriber standpoint, which Mr. Van Tassel is trying to do here. Yet for that same time period, we exceeded revenue goals. And so they want to point to the fact that our subscriptions were less or net wasn't what we thought, but yet our revenues, and that goes right to the point that our businesses are thriving and economic development that Mr. Pyle talked about are coming on board because they need this. I'll mention two other things.
Very quickly, we need to take a break. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just simply say that I issue this challenge all the time. I mean it with my soul, that if the private sector wants to come in under these constraints, provide this type of infrastructure that Utopia and its cities, I would recommend, would step away and allow them to do it. They won't. And I'll just say this before you go to your break, and love a chance for them to respond. Mr. Van Tassel is critical, yet he isn't representing the taxpayers. He represents his clients, which are CenturyLink and Comcast. That's who his clients are. And so he is the lobbyist. The lead of the Utah Taxpayer Association sits with a big conflict of interest as a senator. The lead of this, that's his son-in-law. And they're representing their clients.
I got to get your response to that, Royce. 30 seconds, just real quick before our break.
The Taxpayers Association has been around for 90 years. We are a longtime membership organization. Our members join because they support the principles that we stand for. We are not bought and paid for. We represent the folks that want to support sound principles of lower taxation, greater economic development, and keeping government out of the business of business.
So your clients do not include Comcast and CenturyLink?
The Taxpayers Association doesn't have clients. Members join, large companies, individuals. They don't. We don't represent them. They join us because they espouse the principles that we advocate for.
We are speaking with Royce Van Tassel, Vice President of the Utah Taxpayers Association. Also in studio, Todd Marriott, Executive Director of Utopia, Wayne Pyle, the City Manager of West Valley City, and Pete Ashdown, President and Founder of X Mission. And we're talking about Utopia, some of the hiccups on building the high-speed network here in Utah, just what the future of the project looks like. If you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. Today on the program, Utopia. For 10 years, a group of Utah cities has been trying to get this high-speed fiber optic network off the ground, but it's been mired in financial troubles and some subscriber issues. All of those have cast a cloud on Utopia's future. Joining me in studio is Todd Marriott, Executive Director of Utopia, Wayne Pyle, City Manager of West Valley City, Pete Ashdown, President and Founder of X Mission, and Royce Van Tassel, Vice President of the Utah Taxpayers Association. And we invite you to join us. Do you think Utopia, which is owned by cities, should keep building, or should it cut its losses and sell out to the private sector? Is there demand there? If you've got questions or comments, feel free to join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's get our listeners in on the conversation. Jake is joining us from Draper. Jake, hello. You've been waiting. Thanks so much for your patience.
Oh, no. Thank you for hosting this conversation.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm an IT professional, and I've been following Utopia for a very long time. And I've got to say, I think a lot of the failing for Utopia has been the lack of advertisement of its even existence. In 2005, I knew a guy who lived in Provo, and he was available there. And I asked him how he liked it, and he said, didn't even know what it was. I told him he should look it up. He got hooked up, had 50 megabit speeds. In 2005, he had a fiber optic cable into his garage, and he did not know the thing existed. I think a lot of people right now don't know that this is available in their area or what its benefits are. Now, to the point of current providers, Pete Ashdown was speaking about how they don't upgrade their infrastructure, and it's absolutely true, and they don't use the latest technology. CenturyLink will run a fiber optic cable to a neighborhood and then split it off through telecom lines and just destroy the availability of that actual product. And when you pay for a 40 megabit service through CenturyLink, very often they will not provide you 40 megabits, and the onus is on you to find out whether or not you actually have that. I got the 40 megabit service, and they can only offer me half that, but they won't tell me that. They'll take my money. They'll give me 20 megabits, and that's what I got. And I think a lot of people are in a situation where they're paying for services that they are not receiving.
Jake, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because I don't want this to turn into a bash private sector conversation. I do appreciate the point and the phone call, and I guess his point, Todd Marriott, is that people do not know about Utopia. Why not? It's been around for 10 years. Why not?
Well, historically, we've never really marketed Utopia. We are plumbers. We're providing high-speed access pipes to people like Pete who can go out and provide those services. But when you do get, to his point, when you get Pete's services of a 40 up and down or 100 meg up and down, you get what you're promised. It's an unshared connection from a fantastic state-of-the-art Utah company that's been around for a long time, and people are ecstatic when they can get a Utopia service. And so we do want to get the word out there more. It is a challenge.
Thanks so much, Jake, for the phone call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Let's go to Eric calling from Murray, Utah. Eric, hi.
Hi. So first, just a little bit of background on me. I'm a Utopia customer. When my wife and I lived in downtown Salt Lake and we decided we wanted to buy a home, Utopia was just getting started, and I just, knowing me and my job, I said, you know, if we're going to buy a home, we want to go somewhere where we can get broadband connectivity, real connectivity. And so we looked for the closest place to downtown where we could get Utopia. And we ended up buying a home in Murray and moving here. And I've been a Utopia customer ever since for 5 years and love it. I also like to say that I'm one of X-Mission's first gigabit customers. So, it's something that I tend to brag about with my friends, that I have the fastest internet in the nation, and it's kind of a source of pride for me. So, just wanted to kind of give that perspective of someone who's on Utopia, who loves it, and who, if there had been any option, if there had been any way that I could have gotten this type of connectivity, I would have considered it. But, Utopia has been really the only avenue for someone in my boat who works from home, who manages, both a private business and maintains a job for a Fortune 50 company.
Hey, Eric, I have a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
So as a taxpayer, are you willing to have a higher property tax? Are you willing to have to pay for it and have your taxes continue to go up if the finances don't pencil out, I guess is my question. If not enough people are subscribing to pay for the debt service on Utopia, is it still worth it to you? I mean, are you willing to pay a little bit more?
Absolutely. Yeah, and, we do pay a little more. So, for me, I look at the cost of Utopia, and because of that, like right now, I'm calling you on a VoIP phone line that's delivered via Utopia. I was able to get rid of Quest altogether and not pay any money to Quest in my house. Same thing with I get all of my entertainment options delivered over the same fiber optic. So when I look at the net spend that I would be spending if I didn't have Utopia, I still come out ahead.
Eric, thanks so much for the call. Pete Ashdown?
I think Eric's a great example, because what we're talking about in this country is a great debate on the role of government. And I believe that government should be involved in infrastructure. And I think the core complaint about Utopia by its critics is that what was pitched as free has turned out to cost something. I think now if Salt Lake City wanted to roll out fiber optics to every home in the city, they should put it up for vote. And if the vote passes, we should pay for it up front. Just like the roads, just like the sewers, just like the airports, this is essential infrastructure. And until we have it, we're not going to have that robust competition and excellent service that can come from it.
Royce Fantastico, your thoughts?
You know, I understand why some people that are on Utopia absolutely love it. Certainly, I think it would be thrilling if my neighbors helped pay for my connection. Eric indicated that if there had been any way to get that service other than Utopia, he would have considered it. There, frankly, is. Anybody today could get fiber to their home if they're willing to pay for that themselves. But the premise of Utopia is says, let's have somebody else pay for your connection. And that is just inappropriate. The private sector will be more than happy to build whatever you want if you're willing to pay for it to get to your home, your business. If you're willing to pay that cost, they'll be thrilled to do that.
Speaking with Royce Fantastico from the Utah Taxpayers Association, Todd Marriott from Utopia, the executive director, Wayne Pyle from West Valley City, and Pete Ashdown from X Mission, and you, if you'd like to join us. 801-355-TALK is our number. Let's go to John in West Valley City. John, hi.
Hello there. You know, I just was kind of struck as I listened to Wayne say that about talking about that neighborhood in Salt Lake that still is without service. I live in West Valley. In fact, Wayne, you know me. I live in the neighborhood where you just moved from. I don't have service. You know, I've been paying taxes for a lot of years, and you know, as he just stated, I'm obviously paying for other people to have service, but I don't. I only have one option in my neighborhood. Digis can't reach me, wireless. Quest has no options for me. I have Comcast. That's all I have. And so it just strikes me that you made that comparison when we're sitting here in the same state.
Okay, John, thanks so much for those thoughts. Wayne Pyle, why are some West Valley residents, even though they've been paying for it, why can't they get access to Utopia?
Great question, and I appreciate John's comment, and his concern is right on. As he mentioned, I lived in that same neighborhood. I couldn't get it either. And the reason for that is when the initial debt service and the initial build was done, I think it's about 16-20% of the east side of West Valley City was built. And as I'd mentioned before, the way that the model had worked at the time was we were trying to decide where the best build would be, where it would get the most customers and be the least cost to construct. And so that first tranche of the money that came in that debt service, the 180 or so that we've been talking about.
So it's all prioritized, is
right,
what
right.
you're saying.
And that was all built according to those priorities. Now, I think it's important also to note that we never have been allowed basically the time or the freedom or the allowance to move forward with that whole plan. This system, as it was initially envisioned, would have been over $300 million, not $180. We were opposed at every step, not just philosophically, as Mr. Van Tassel pointed out, but legislatively. They made every effort they could to at the state level, at the federal level, using their own clients, as Todd mentioned, Comcast and Quest, to oppose us. In many ways, it's no wonder we've been delayed. We have had to fight this battle every step of the way to be able to build this network.
And, you know, Mr. Van Tassel is here representing a whole group of opponents. I mean, this is not just the Utah Taxpayers Association, who's frustrated with the slow progress of this project, the cost overruns. I mean, can you address some of those issues, Todd? I mean, what are people supposed to think about Utopia at this moment?
I think that there's a justification for people being frustrated. To Mr. Pyle's comments, though, if we understand it in context, historically, there have been a lot of efforts to thwart the efforts from the cities to get this in place. And many of those efforts, and most of those, are done by Mr. Van Tassel's clients. Comcast and Quest, who obviously don't want to see a network that provides choice. And to the city's credit, they came to the incumbents and begged them to please put this type of infrastructure in place. They were told no. They asked them in 2002, what if we were to pay for it? They were told no. And so to economic development, to all these other things, but some of the financial issues there have been legitimate issues. There have been some mismanagement issues. There have been some struggles, but a lot of those struggles have been self-imposed by efforts from Mr. Van Tassel's clients, major conflicts of interest with a sitting senator, with his son-in-law. And the fact of the matter is that today we do have a big task ahead, and building infrastructure is costly, and some of those mistakes have been costly. Is there a way to get where it needs to be and be very successful and ubiquitously built to every citizen? Yes, and that's what we're underway.
I want to squeeze in a couple of more calls. This is Sarah calling from Salt Lake City. Sarah, hi.
Hello. Yes, I would like to address my comment to all of the panelists, including Pete. Shout out to you. I'm a private business owner, and I run a web development firm. I'm delighted to see infrastructure taking place. I actively recruit from a pool of well-educated academians that come out of our public institutions. I'm happy to see the governor's Office of Economic Development actively recruiting and fostering high technology businesses. I couldn't find a job in a recession, so I created one. It is really, I interpret, the role of government to create infrastructure that fosters development and has kept us out of an economic rut and put Utah on the map as a technology nerve center. It's in my, not only my best interest economically as a private business owner, but it fosters further development and attracts other businesses and gets the stranglehold of these regulated monopolies off of the necks of those of us who would like to have choices.
Okay, Sarah, thank you very much for those thoughts. Royce Van Tassel.
You know, Sarah raises an important point, and I think a very interesting point. If you look at the largest technology investments in the state, if you look at Twitter, eBay, Adobe, none of those companies came and invested in a city that has Utopia. In fact, we just recently saw that Exactware, one of the largest technology firms in Orem, has decided to move out of Orem and into Lehigh, which is not to say that fiber optics is not an economic development driver. It can be. But Utopia supporters have always said that the key to economic development in the 21st century is having fiber optics throughout the city, every home, every business. And that's just not proven to be the case. Companies are more than willing to come. They evaluate a variety of factors, and whether it's not simply, do we have a gigabit connection to this neighborhood? They evaluate a lot of them. And as these largest companies that have invested in Utah, these high-tech companies have come, for some reason they have decided that Utopia cities aren't the nirvana that they were looking for.
Let's go to John in Salt Lake City. John, quickly.
Hi, I just had a quick question. How much does it cost to lay down fiber optic lines? Because as far as my knowledge goes, is it even affordable for the individual? Because if it was affordable, I think people would do it.
Interesting.
I just don't think it's affordable for the individual.
Okay, who wants to take that one? Pete Ashdown?
Because of my lack of options in Salt Lake City, I actually asked CenturyLink how much it would cost to run fiber optics in my home. And they quoted me $25,000. Now, if a neighborhood does fiber optics, it becomes much lower to do that proposition. So we've studied it, and I'm sure Todd can speak to this a little bit better. It's below $2,000 if a neighborhood goes for it per home. The other question you have to ask is, how much does it cost to run a road to your house? And how profitable is a road? And is that an economic driver?
Todd, just very quickly.
Yeah, Mr. Ashdown is correct. The more people that subscribe in a neighborhood, the less expensive it is. And, you know, the private sector is not willing to run it currently, but those financial tenets of how you do it depend on take rates. And right now in Utopia, where we have fiber optics, we have nearly a 30% take rates in our poorer demographic areas. So our problem isn't that we don't have enough demand. Our problem is, you know, being able to get the cost in a situation where we can roll forward the network.
We're going to have to keep to very short final statements, but I guess, Todd, how do we move forward at this point? I mean, how can you reassure taxpayers out there that Utopia is worth the financial investment?
Utopia should be couched as the cities of Utopia. And frankly, I'm an extended staff member of Mr. Pyle and all of the other cities. We are, Utopia isn't a private company. Utopia is the cities. And so I would encourage that citizens and those that are concerned on both sides of this debate to come and become educated. I think if they do, they will see a way forward that is extremely compelling for their communities, for economic development, and for the connectivity infrastructure that is absolutely vital to this generation. And so I would ask them to get involved. I'm happy to come out anytime to sit down with them in regards to financials, ongoing efforts in their community, and how they might get it in place and take care of the financial issues at hand. But it is an opportunity for them. I work for them.
Royce, I mean, is there any way to reassure you and the members of your organization that Utopia is worth the money?
You know, after 10 years, we've had a very good evaluation of whether or not Utopia can be successful. And the evidence is very clear. It's very stark. It doesn't matter who's in charge. This is an organization that has lost money hand over fist year in and year out. They can't cover their operating costs. They can't cover their debt service costs. It's time to stop digging a hole. The longer they stay in business, the deeper that hole gets.
Pete, the private sector, will they pick this up? Any takers out there?
No, they've demonstrated that they haven't. And when we talk about whether a government should be run like a business, I think it's important to look at the federal highway system, which has lost trillions of dollars over the past 50 years. But it's an obvious economic benefit to have highways in our country. And this is the end game. Fiber optics is something this country needs. And I think the best solution for Utopia would be for all the cities to vote on bailing them out and funding them through the future.
Wayne Pyle, I'll give you the final word quickly.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. So the point, I think, is from a clarifying standpoint, that's probably the most important to the listeners and all the citizens, is one that has been confused a lot, and we've talked about it a lot here. Government has always been involved in telecommunications infrastructure, as well as all the other types of infrastructures that you mentioned. Comcast just took $1 billion over 5-year pension relief through the federal government. The argument that government should not be involved financially by the Utah Taxpayers Association and other interests like them is disingenuous.
We're going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, maybe we'll have to reconvene our panel. Wayne Pyle is city manager of West Valley City. Todd Marriott, executive director of Utopia. Pete Ashdown with X Mission and Royce Van Tassel with the Utah Taxpayers Association. Gentlemen, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the Salt Lake City Jazz Festival comes to town, and we'll be speaking with the headliner, Dina Martin. But first a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.